Hello and welcome to another episode of the Diet Detox Podcast. I'm your host, Margaret Berry, here with my sister-in-law, Victoria Wilkes. And we have a very special guest today that we're very excited to have. And her name is also Victoria. Her name is Tori Collada. We're so excited to have Tori with us today. I'm going to read a little bit about Tori for you all if you don't know her work yet. Tori is a functional nutritional therapy practitioner. She lives in Fort Worth, Texas. She went to Texas Christian University and has both a degree in health and fitness and a degree in nutritional sciences. While working in several gyms with a variety of clients throughout the Dallas-Fort Worth area, she started to develop her own issues with health that were not resolved with the practices she was taught. Tori then began her own journey through holistic medicine and functional nutrition, which led her to nutritional therapy. Through sharing her own story with chronic illness and the restorative practices of functional nutrition, Tori is on a mission to change the way that women think about and nourish their bodies so that they can not only survive, but thrive in their calling. So Tori, thank you so much for coming on the podcast with us.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. I'm literally so excited.
We met on Instagram, I think because you had listened to our podcast. And when we started talking, I mentioned to Victoria, I said, Victoria, we really need to have Tori on our podcast. Like, I just feel like I don't know, we are very similar. And I feel like we're coming from a similar place as far as, you know, nutrition stuff. I was like, we need to get her on the podcast. So it worked out. So I'm so excited. Yay.
Yeah. It's really cool. I was just, so my friend Carrie introduced me to y'all's podcast. She was like, hey, you have to listen to this podcast. It was on the dietization of Christianity.
Yes, that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And she sent it to me and she was like, you have to listen to this. I feel like this is like so going to be something that you love. And I was listening to it on like a drive home to Louisiana. And when I listened to the intro, I was like, oh my gosh, Margaret's an NTP. That's literally what I do.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So then after I listened to it, I was like, I have to know you. I have to talk to these people.
It's so cool how that worked out. I love that. And of course I was thinking to myself, because you had said that you really enjoyed that episode. I was like, if she liked that episode, then I can guarantee we probably agree on a lot of things.
Because yeah.
That's one of those ones, you know. So yeah,
yes,
I'm just excited. So we usually do a little segment here where we talk about or just share what we've been eating recently that's been really good. So Victoria, do you want to go first, share what you've been enjoying recently?
Yeah, for sure. Aldi, because if you've listened to this podcast, you know that I have to think about Aldi. Cheap, good food, my jam. So they have their version, because most everything at Aldi is their brand, like not name brand. So it's basically their knockoff of Dove dark chocolate.
Ooh,
it's so good.
Yeah.
It's like $2.50 for like a nice size bag of individually wrapped, just like the Dove. And it's so good, because they have, I mean, Aldi's regular dark chocolate is really good, but this kind is just, so good. So, and I don't always, I mean, I'm kind of a penny pincher whenever it comes to grocery shopping, and I'm like an extreme stickler with the budget. So sometimes if $2.50 is going to put me over, I don't do it. And this past week, I was like, I am getting
You're
the
like,
chocolate.
No, get the chocolate. Yeah, I love it. That's so awesome. Yeah. Didn't you bring those to the beach? I feel like I saw those at the beach.
Yes. Somewhere. I bought some at the beach, because they have an Aldi down at the beach.
Gotcha.
And I am going to thoroughly enjoy my chocolate. I can't worry about the budget at the beach. I just like bought albums for all these things.
Blow it out. That's awesome. Nice. I'll have to try those then. And how about you, Tori?
Oh gosh. Okay. So I just love food. So this is like really hard, but I think my favorite like snack that it's kind of like a special snack that I have every once in a while is the Lesser Evil like cheesy popcorn. Because they use ghee and nutritional yeast, and it's literally so good. Like my entire community group was like, how is there no cheese in this? It's so delicious. It's like addictively good. I just am obsessed with it.
Yes.
So I don't buy it very often, because I know I'm going to eat like almost the whole bag, but
yeah,
it is
and
so good.
Like,
that's
what,
like my go-to movie snack.
So, yeah.
Yes.
So like, okay.
It's super, super expensive for popcorn, but it's so worth it. I promise.
Yum. See, I've tried their paleo puffs before, and those things are so good. They have a nutritional yeast one as well. And
yeah.
I'm just like, oh, this is so good. I love those.
Yeah. Now, My mom and I call this crack puffs.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
For sure. They're so good.
I love that brand too. And I think they have like a sea salt one too, I'm pretty sure. Which those are not as good as the cheese. I like the cheesy, nutritional yeast cheese.
Same. I'm with you.
So tonight for dinner, it was just crazy. Like tonight for dinner was just, everybody was running like chickens with their head cut off. And I was like, okay, I've not been good about planning meals specifically for each night. So I ended up making a recipe it's called egg roll in a bowl. And it was so good. You use ground turkey and you have all these spices that you put in it. And then you've got cabbage and carrots and, like tamari sauce and all of this like ginger and garlic. And it has all these flavors. So it literally tastes like an egg roll, but it's served in a bowl. Like you just eat it like a stir fry. And it was amazing. So good.
That's very, very, very good.
Oh, I was like, wow, I need to make that again. So it was just really delicious. I loved it.
Very was yummy. That from the Cook Once, Eat All Week book?
It's actually from Coconuts and Kettlebells because she had been posting it a lot. She had been posting that recipe a lot. And I was like, I need to find this, on her site and see if I can make it. And I ended up having everything for it, which was great. So that's always nice when that happens.
It would be. It's so nice. And you're like, oh, happy day. I have all the ingredients. I don't have to substitute anything or like go to the store.
Exactly. Yes. That was very, very nice. I liked that too. Yeah. Okay. So we want to talk to Tori. So let's chat about, we'd love to hear maybe just some of your journey so far with your health and just your views on health and fitness maybe. And yeah, really just wherever you want to go with that. We'd love to hear because we want to hear. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll just share a little bit, well, maybe a lot of it, about my just kind of struggles with body image and how that led to where I am now. I struggle with chronic illness now, and I'll kind of explain how I'm working with that. But I have always struggled with body image, like from the beginning of my memory, I can remember struggling with body image and comparing myself to other girls at school. And I was on a competitive soccer team, and I remember going to practice in my practice uniform fitting differently and girls making comments about how my thighs are bigger than theirs and just obsessing over weight and the size jeans I wore in like middle school and high school, which is like when you're going through puberty. And so like, of course, my body was changing, but I was like, oh my gosh, something is wrong with me. I'm just gaining weight. I was growing. Like, of course I was gaining weight. Right. And it kind of just carried with me into college. And so when I got to college freshman year, my freshman roommate was like 6 a.m. going to the rec, always works out, like really healthy. So it got me into like this routine because we were doing it together kind of. And even if I didn't get up with her, I was like, okay, she worked out this morning, so I'm going to work out this afternoon. Uh-huh. It's going to be fine. And I ended up losing a ton of weight my freshman year, which is like never what happens, I think, for people when they go to college, because I went home. I remember going home at Christmas and literally like my friends and family commenting about how I looked so good and like what I was doing. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm just going to school and not really worrying about it. And just eating, I was eating in the cafeteria just like everybody else was, on a freshman meal plan. And I didn't really like know what was going on, but I loved the attention and the comments because it was something that I had idolized for so long. And so that was just super, it just really built up my ego. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I need to keep doing. I need to keep doing this. So then I started studying kinesiology and nutrition in school because I was really interested in it. And that led to working in gyms part-time, doing different internships all over the DFW area. And I was kind of the person that did the weight loss nutrition coaching program under advisement of the coaches I was working for. But I was one of the main people doing those programs with people in the gym. And all this time I was idolizing boys and relationships and what boys thought of me. And I wasn't a Christian at this point. Like, I grew up Catholic. I knew who Jesus was, but I didn't have a relationship and I wasn't following Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so I just really like idolized boys and was in very emotionally abusive relationships, in and out all the time. And that was kind of my place I stayed for a few years. Mm-hmm. So in 2016, I started getting really sick and I had these digestive issues that no doctor could explain, right? Like, the campus doctor couldn't explain it. The emergency room couldn't explain it to me. I was getting like severe diarrhea and blood in my stool for like a year. Oh, wow. And like, no one could explain anything to me. And so like, the next thing was, you have to go to a GI doctor. You have to get a colonoscopy. Okay, well, I literally hate doctors, so I was not going to do that.
Yeah.
My mom was like, that chance, that's not going to happen. She's never going to do that. And I just continued to struggle with it. I was given Z-Packs and antibiotics over and over and over again for what they could figure out was a stomach flu, which also, that's a virus. So the antibiotics really essentially did nothing for that. So that's really cool. And kind of had a year of that where, and I was still working, I was still in school, I was still, you know, staying up late and studying for tests, and just kind of my whole attitude was like, we'll get it, everything's got to get done, so I'll sleep whenever I can.
Right.
So all of that kind of compacted and just kind of made everything worse because I wasn't even taking care of myself, even though that was my job in the gym, was to help other people take care of themselves. And I started getting really depressed and just really struggled with this huge bout of depression, and ended up dropping out of my classes that semester and ended up quitting my job and leaving my job at the gym because it was just not working out with that. And then over that next year into 2017, continued to struggle with depression, continued to struggle with binge eating and just being really stressed and sad. And that was also the same year that I was actually saved and heard the gospel, which is crazy because I'm like, that was the worst year of my life. And I just remember I was dieting all the time and counting macros all the time and over exercising and would like go to CrossFit twice a day because I was stressed about how I was gaining weight and couldn't understand why, because I was like, I'm trained in this. I should know what's going on.
Right.
I should be able to do this. This is a lack of willpower. Like that bag of chips that you binge ate on the couch last week, we have to go work that off. Like, why did you do that? And it was just this cycle of shame. And I just couldn't, I couldn't even working with someone helping me with my macros. I couldn't even like understand and like actually nourish my body to the way that they wanted me to, because, you know, when you start with macros, they give you the standard, like 30-40-30 percentage wise. I could not hit 40% carbs for my life. Like, I could not make myself do it because I didn't eat gluten. I just went gluten free early on in college for like no other reason besides the fact that I felt better. I didn't really know anything about it.
Right.
But I was like, I literally can't hit 40% carbs unless I start eating pieces of bread. And they were like, yeah, well, unless you do that, we can't change your macros. And I was like, this can't be right. Like, you can't make me eat something that I know makes me feel bad just so that I can hit a certain number. Like, something is not right.
Yeah.
So all that time, like I was trying to also discover Jesus and who God was and what he had planned for me, because my whole life I had grown up thinking like, you have to earn your way into heaven. And that if you were good enough, you got there. And if you weren't, there was no point in trying. And so like, I was kind of at the point at the beginning of college where I was like, there's no point in trying. And at this point I was like, okay, I've literally never heard this in my entire life. You know, I'm like 22 years old at this point. How is this the gospel? I don't understand. And just kind of digging into starting to read the Bible and what that meant. And I literally had never read the Bible besides like the scriptures that they read in Catholic Mass. I'm like,
yeah,
of course I don't know who God is. I've never read Yeah. I've never read the word of God. That's who he is. So right. It's like, of course I don't know who he is because I'm not reading the literal outline that he gave us.
Right.
And so as I'm kind of going through that, I'm still in school and I'm just kind of struggling through everything still. I really hadn't connected how I was acting with my body and God and how those two actually connect so much. Mm-hmm. Right. And then was diagnosed with hypothyroidism. Mm-hmm. Which was like a whole like 6 months of trying to figure out what medication I needed to be on, because apparently I was going to be on medication for the rest of my life, which just really, really put a nail in my coffin on as far as like trying to do things for my health, because I was like, okay, well, I'm going to be on medicine forever.
Right.
So why bother? And then as I was like kind of starting to research, and this is where I also kind of started to learn how to like advocate for myself in a doctor's office, right? Like up until that point, I had just taken everything that the doctor had said as complete fact. There's no other option. You have to do what they say.
Right.
And my mom, we left that appointment and my mom was like, you have to research this. Like you have to start looking into this. Hmm. And so in my research, I started seeing there was going to be like, if you have hypothyroidism, there's going to be all these issues with fertility. And so I was like, I have to go. I had never been to the OBGYN. I was like, I have to go to the OBGYN now because I have to figure out if I can ever have babies. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, started down that spiral of like, I'm not even dating anyone, but I have to know if I can have babies one day. I
totally understand. Yes. Been there before too. Yes.
Yes. So I found, you know, this random OBGYN in Fort Worth and made an appointment. And she was someone that, like, I even remember looking up holistic OBGYN and she came up. Okay, well, she works in like the biggest hospital district in Fort Worth. So there's no way that that's true, but it's fine. I went and I was like, hey, I really want to see if there's a way to like test my hormones or something so I can figure out what's going on, because I'm really worried about hypothyroidism, like this diagnosis, and me being able to have babies one day. And the OBGYN said, well, you're, you know, 22, 23, you're probably fine. So there's really no reason to test. And also if you're struggling with like depression and hypothyroidism, you really need to get on the birth control pill. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I don't really like love being on the birth control pill. I had done it for like a little bit freshman year and just had so many reactions to it. I stopped after a month because it was so bad.
Yeah.
And so I was like, is there any other option? And she literally said, you know, if you don't get on the birth control pill, you are going to crash and burn and wish you were dead. And then you're going to ask me for that prescription. So I'm just going to give it to you now.
Oh my goodness. Oh yeah.
I just about lost my mind in my head because I was like, I cannot believe you just told someone who struggles with depression, they're going to crash and burn and wish they were dead. Like who says that?
Yeah.
And
oh my goodness.
I am still not over it. That was 3 years ago. I'm still not over it.
Yeah,
I walked out of that office and I was like, this is going to change. I'm done taking doctors' words for things because this is completely not true. Like, there's no way that I have to be on birth control. I'm going to crash and burn and want to die. I just can't accept that.
Yeah.
And so I ended up over the next year finding a functional medicine doctor. And through that time too was getting plugged into church, finding community, really like actually following Jesus and not just, you know, reading my Bible every now and then and keeping it to myself. Mm. And found a functional medicine doctor. I was still in school. So I was kind of like, okay, I can like do what you tell me to do, but I really don't have time to prioritize this right now because I'm trying to graduate college. I was in college for so long. Like I was trying to get out, you know, that was my only priority. And that was actually when I figured out that I had parasites and candida, which is what I am currently struggling with. But back then I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what was going on. And even though I was studying that in school, that's not what they teach you in school. Like they teach you what you have to know to work in a hospital. And I was already checked out because I knew I didn't want to work in a hospital.
Right. Yeah.
And so I was just like, study what you need to know for the test and then forget everything because it's not going to be helpful to you. So, oh man. So I really just had that. I figured out I had the MTHFR gene mutation, had no idea what that meant until more recently. And after college, I had a full-time job, got let go. This was last year, and was like, okay, if I'm going to like do my, and it was a job in like corporate, it was America. It was not like anything related to health whatsoever.
Right.
I was like, if I'm going to do what I want to do, which is own my own business, I'm going to do it right now. And what I want to do right now is go through the nutritional therapy program, because I had been introduced to it. It was kind of always on my radar. And I was like, this, I have to do it now. This is the time. This is why I got let go from this position. Like, God is making a way. I have to do this. So I started at the NTA last year, finished in February. And then COVID hit. We all know that.
Right.
Yes. We all know where that leads.
Yes.
So that kind of put a damper on the whole starting my business thing. But it also gave me so much time to slow down and really focus on what was actually going on in my body and what I was noticing. Because I mean, I'm an Enneagram 7. I don't know if y'all like know your Enneagram numbers do any of that.
This makes sense. Actually, I could see that. Yes.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes, for sure. So I'm an Enneagram 7 who like likes to go do all this stuff. Right. Except then the country locks down and we're not allowed to leave our house for 60 days.
Right.
So I like immediately fell back into like depression, and I guess not immediately. I kind of held on for 2 weeks because it was supposed to be like, you know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, right?
Right. Right. Yeah.
And then we're 160 something days in.
Still
yeah.
Strong. Yeah.
So my Enneagram 7 really has not come alive at all this year because she's not allowed to go anywhere. And I don't wear a mask. I can't wear a mask. So it's like, I'm really not allowed to go anywhere still because everywhere requires a mask. And
right,
so
yeah.
It really has given me so much time to really focus on like what is going on internally, because I'm also really bad at focusing on myself when it's necessary, you know, and taking time to really slow down and do things. I'm really go, 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 or I'm completely asleep. Like that, those are my two paces.
Yeah.
So I started working with an NTP this summer, and what came up, she does energetic testing with morphogenic field technique.
Oh yes. This is Tara. Love her.
Yes.
Tara, however she pronounces it. Love her. Yes. Yes.
Yes. She's so fantastic.
She's awesome.
In my first session with her, my problem areas that came up, parasites, candida, heavy metal toxicity.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, so really like whatever I did 2 years ago didn't really work. We figured that out. And also I have mercury and titanium toxicity. Okay, well, what the heck does that mean?
Hmm.
So now that I'm kind of functioning under like, hey, I've been struggling with this for 2 years. This year has also been a year of understanding you struggle with chronic illness. And like, even though I've been struggling with it for years and just didn't know, like 4+ years, it's really right now that I feel like I've actually like diagnosed it, because now I understand what parasites and candida yeast means. I understand what heavy metal toxicity is. Like all of that was learned through my own research in the NTA.
Right.
And so now it's really been like a year of a couple of months of like, how do I process saying I struggle with chronic illness when my job isn't health? And just kind of like the almost imposter syndrome with that. I was like really embarrassed at first and was like, well, no wonder I've been struggling so long, but for also like, also I, how can I do what I do and struggle with chronic illness? That doesn't make any sense. And so this has really been like a year of just relying on God and surrendering that kind of ego to God, that I have to be perfect to be able to do what I do.
Right.
And my community has been able to speak into it a lot. And just other NTP friends have been able to speak into it a lot. Like, hey, this is the mess you have, and God's going to make it your message. Like this was given to you for a reason, not because you did anything wrong, not because you deserve it because you're a broken sinner. It's because God knows you're going to use it to glorify him. And I have really had to just continue to go back to that every single day. That's where I'm at.
I love that, because it's so easy when you are in the health and fitness arena to, you know, want to, like you said, that ego part of being like, well, look at me, I've got it together, so let me help you get it together. But it's not true, because a lot of us have things we're working on. And honestly, when I hear of a practitioner that they also struggle with things, you know, I know a practitioner, for example, in my local area who has numerous, like she literally had part of her small intestine removed. She has a part of her large intestine removed. Like she has had in her past all kinds of health problems, but she is so good at helping other people with their problems because she's had to deal with them herself. Right. So it kind of adds, I don't know, I feel like it adds an extra level of empathy maybe as well. Yeah, because then you can really have that empathy for other people, because you know what it's like, you know, you know what it's like to feel like that. You know what it feels like when you're diagnosed with something and you're kind of grappling with, how am I going to process this? So
yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
Now, and you were getting some, I saw on Instagram, you were getting some of your fillings out. Is that right? What have you been doing that? Yeah. Cause I've been watching, I've been watching your stories with you getting them out, because I think that's really helpful for people to, see that, because that's something that can impact heavy metals too. And people don't know that.
So I know. So when the year I kind of started seeing that functional medicine doctor, that was also kind of the year I started going to a nervous system based chiropractor, going to a biological dentist. Like I drive like over an hour to go see a biological dentist because I love them so much.
Nice.
And so when we did like my first dental kind of plan, they were like, hey, you're going to want to get these out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, this is thousands of dollars and I'm in college. So that's not going to happen right now, you know? And cause I have four of them. So it was like, they were talking about putting me under general anesthesia and doing it all at once. And I was like, okay, I for sure cannot handle that right now. Sorry.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of got put off. And then once I was with Tara and she gave me this heavy metal toxicity and she gave me mercury and told me it was like the highest toxicity she can measure. And I was like, where does that come from? Like, where does that come from? And she goes, so A, the flu shot, which just kills me, because how many thousands of people get the flu shot every year and have no idea that mercury is
in it? Yeah, it's still in there and given to pregnant people too. Yeah. Oh my word.
It's crazy. And then I said, okay, well, I don't get the flu shot. I got the flu shot once in like middle school or something and got the flu. So my mom was like, you're never doing that again. And I just never did it again.
Yeah.
I kind of deferred to her on that and was like, my mom says never to get it, so I don't do it.
Love it.
And she goes, okay, well, the other place is mercury fillings. And I said, mercury fillings. And she goes, amalgam fillings, metal fillings. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So because I have four of these metal fillings and the MTHFR gene mutation, I can't detox what is constantly being released. And it's released in like three different ways. It's aerosolized, it's an ethyl, and then actually just like the liquid mercury can leak into your body through the metal fillings. And I was like, okay, this makes so much sense. And how many effects does mercury have on our body? Like, I struggle with depression and anxiety and digestive dysfunction and all of these, mercury affects all of those things. And I was like, holy dang, this is completely game changing and no one has told me this before. So I'm getting those out and I'm doing one at a time instead of all at once. I, you know, can't really detox things well, so anesthesia has always kind of been something that like kind of put me on my butt for a while. Like I got my tonsils out. I got a cyst removed in like the seventh grade and things like that. I always felt way worse because of the anesthesia. Like it was never like what they actually did.
Right.
Yeah. So we're doing one at a time so that I can just do local anesthetic. And because when you remove it, you're exposing yourself to more mercury still. And so since my toxicity is already high, we're doing one at a time to kind of like minimize that and like just do really strong binding protocols the day of, to kind of mitigate that.
See, that's awesome. That's a really smart way to do it, because people don't realize when you get them out, you're exposed to it. Because it's I mean, they literally, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that they actually even wear like hazmats. It looks like they're wearing a hazmat suit when they're in there getting it out.
Yeah,
like they're all covered up.
They for sure should be, at least. So my dentist was telling me, I love her so much, I just want to be best friends with her. And she was telling me that she's on like the integrative dentist board to help train other dentists how to remove them safely, because there are people out there removing them that don't don't tarp you, don't cover up, don't do anything. Oh, and there's actually so many like things you have to do to make sure that A, the people like your patients are safe, and B, the dentist and the dental hygienists are safe while you're doing it too.
Right.
So yeah, you're completely like, I'm completely under like a tarp with just my mouth exposed. But then even then there's a clamp around my tooth with another barrier to kind of block the rest of the teeth as much as possible.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's really crazy.
Yeah. I've heard that that's like, some people say to just not mess with it because it releases so much whenever you get it out. But I guess if you do it properly, like there's ways of doing it to where you're protected.
Yeah. Yeah. And my dentist is huge on like the binding protocol. Like I would have never known if she didn't tell me that like there's a binding protocol that you can do. She gives vitamin C IV the day of the procedure, like does all sorts of stuff. You swish with charcoal before they even start. So there's charcoal active and ready in your mouth for any sort of mercury that gets released.
Wow. That's super cool. I want to be friends with this person too, because that would just, that's awesome. Just fun. That's just really cool.
Yes. She's awesome. And it's kind of annoying because, you know, they usually do just do it in one procedure, but I have to do it 4 times.
Right.
So I am doing it like more frequently than other people normally do it. And it is super taxing on the body. Like you take the entire rest of the day off. Like I don't work those days because I'm constantly taking supplements, and you have to do a vitamin C flush that literally, you're just wipes flushing you out. Quite literally all day long. So
And then
after that, okay, I'm struggling with chronic illness. So like that day is exhausting. The whole next day, I'm not really really ready to work or anything like that. So it really is like, just kind of to going back to my story, it's such a blessing and a gift in that I got let go from my job, because I was really upset when it happened and I felt like such a failure. And I mean, I was 3 months out of college and got let go from my first adult job with a salary, and was like, what the heck am I going to do now? And honestly, I would have never been able to have a full-time job and do the types of protocols I'm doing and everything else that I'm getting to do now to help support my body, because I would have had to be working all the time, you know, and I couldn't just plan my day off and like move my appointments around to where I need them. So it's been a huge godsend that happened, because it really was sort of the initiator in being able to heal my body. So
that's really awesome. And I was going to ask you too, just because we're discussing chronic illness, I wanted to know, how has your experience with discovering having a chronic illness, how has that impacted your relationship with your body, and also the body image struggles that you mentioned that you've had? I'd love to hear how those two interact.
Yeah, I think so. A couple of years ago, kind of after I was saved and I was in community, I was kind of like, yeah, I think body image really isn't an issue anymore. You know, I had my moments where I was like, oh, I just wish I, you know, weighed less. But for the most part, I was actually doing way better. And I was doing better. It wasn't controlling every aspect of my life and everything I ate and all this stuff. This year has been a bigger reawakening to, hey, this very much is still a struggle for you. Mm-hmm. And just really understanding that, like, I gained weight as my body's way to protect myself from all of the things that were happening, all the toxins I was exposed to, the chronic infections, et cetera, that really was a safety mechanism that's built into our body. Mm-hmm. And understanding that has actually made it a lot easier for me to say, okay, I'm okay not losing weight, or I'm okay working this hard for my health and not losing weight and not focusing on the external factor of what I look like, because I chased weight and dieted for years and dieted myself into chronic illness.
Right.
And so obviously dieting isn't going to fix that. And worrying about my weight isn't going to fix that. Right. That's just what people see, but that's not what's going on in the inside. And so I am constantly trying to like give up more idols with that right now. Mm. I've been selling my clothes from my closet that don't fit anymore. And I just a few months ago, I realized, not even months, weeks ago, I was like, I am idolizing and like waiting for the day when I can wear these clothes again, because they don't fit tight anymore. And I just heard God. He was like, you cannot wait for this day. Like, that is not what I made you for. I did not make you for how you look in clothes. I did not make you so that you can just wait and hide until you look the way you want to look. And that's just so true throughout the Bible. Like, that's not what we're created for whatsoever, to live and hide in shame and sin. And so I started selling clothes, and now I'm like, okay, I'm paying off the debt that's been on my credit card for years. Now I'm not going into my closet every day just sad because I can't wear the clothes I want to wear, because there's actually clothes that do fit and do make me feel good. And that's what I'm seeing first.
Right. Get that, because I don't know how many episodes you've listened to, Tori, but we did one about like postpartum body image. And that one for me, because after my first daughter, I have two kids, and after my first child, I lost a lot of weight really quickly. And I think part of that, I don't know, there's a lot of different factors, and it wasn't conscious, but I lost a lot of weight really quickly, and people just commented. And it does feel good to have people comment, but it also kind of made me mad because I was dealing with postpartum depression and like PTSD from my birth. And it's like, you people have no idea what's going on. Like, you can't see that I'm really struggling, and all you see is that I look good in my jeans or whatever. So that is really frustrating. But this time around, it's easy to compare yourself, not even only to other people, but to compare yourself to your past self. I weighed this much last postpartum. Like, why am I not at that weight now? Because I'm about, like, I don't know, depending on what time postpartum you look at, I'm like 10 or 20 pounds more than I was at this time last postpartum. And so I had like clothes that I was able to fit into really easily that I can't fit into right now. And so I was like early, I guess it was right after COVID hit, because I was about to go clothes shopping, and then COVID hit, and I was like, well, crap, what am I gonna do? Old Navy is having like a big sale online, so I just ordered like two or three sizes of everything and online, and they had free returns. I like sent them all back, but I was like, I am not going to try to squeeze into these old clothes and like not be able to breathe. Like, I'm just gonna buy clothes that fit right now. And so I did. Like, all what's in my wardrobe right now, I can fit into a couple of things that I was able to last time, but a lot of this stuff is new, and it just is nice to be like, hey, I feel really nice in these clothes, instead of trying to recapture your past self or something. It's almost like, it's like this badge of honor where it's really dumb, because it doesn't need to be. Like, who says you have to fit into the same clothes your whole life? It's like rule of being a woman that you need to fit in your same clothes, but it's just not how our bodies work. I got Lyme disease earlier this year, and it was like a mystery disease for a while with all these rashes and fever and so I went on two rounds of antibiotics, and that messed up my hormones, and I had to stop nursing suddenly. And so my body's just been on this roller coaster, and I have to remember, that's exactly what you said, is that body fat is protective. It's not this awful thing that we're cursed with. It's like, no, it's whenever you're dealing with stuff, it protects you. And sometimes it doesn't, you know, sometimes body fat is for different reasons other than health issues going on. But a lot of times it's either with hormones or with like a disease going through times of stress. And it's like, if we can just not think of it, because I mean, what an awful thing to do to your body if you're dealing with chronic illness or hormone problems or extreme stress or something, then to put it on a diet and not to feed it.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I know. Well, I think that's crazy too, because even when in 2018, when I, you know, heard about that I had parasites and candida and didn't really understand it, I was like, okay, well, more of a reason to go on a diet. Okay. Well, I literally, the food I'm already eating isn't getting absorbed because of the parasites and the candida yeast. So I literally just starved myself even more, even though my body already thought it was starving because it just wasn't absorbing anything in the small intestine. And so I just kept digging the hole even more.
Right.
which is crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Cause it's just, again, everybody equates, you know, diet as like, you know, oh it's gotta be like, you know, this restricted diet, like this person's doing on whatever influencer, because, and it's all for weight. It's all what you look like. It's not if you're healthy or not, because I hear from people a lot that have Lyme or that have some other chronic virus that they're like, I can't gain weight. Some people get a virus and they can't gain weight. And they're like, I wish I could, but they're getting all these compliments. Oh, you look so good. You look, that really fit nice. And they're like, actually, I feel like death, but thanks for the compliment, you know?
Yeah. They're like, I look good, but I feel like garbage. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Affirmation there.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just like people just, again, our society equates that always. And it's just so messed up. And speaking of that too, speaking of dieting, I wanted to ask you, what do you think, in your opinion, is the biggest diet scam or the biggest the biggest fallacy that people believe about diets or eating? I'd love to hear your take on that.
Yes. Okay, so it's kind of a combo. It's between calories in versus calories out. And eat less, exercise more. You know, I feel like those are used pretty interchangeably.
Yes.
And, you know, like I was having all these digestive symptoms 4 years ago. Okay, well, I just got to eat less and exercise more.
Right,
I was getting, you know, parasites and candida. Okay, just got to eat less and exercise more. Depression, eat less, exercise more. Exercise makes you happy. Okay, well, not if it's you're chronically stressed and you're just putting more stress on your body. Yes. I mean, I look back at things I did and I'm like, I cannot believe that I did that to myself knowing what I know now. Mm-hmm. But for women in general, we don't eat enough at all. Like I have not had one client that has actually eaten enough volume wise.
I'm glad you're saying that because it makes me not feel crazy because I'm the same way. Yes.
Oh yes. That's my favorite part of getting a new client is because I can be like, hey, you know how every other thing you've tried has told you to eat less? I'm going to do the opposite. Great news. You can actually eat and not be hungry.
Right.
Like it's crazy how that's like a conspiracy theory.
Yes.
But yeah, I think we don't eat enough and we're not, and it's not even necessarily like, cause you can technically eat enough calories by eating McDonald's and eating garbage fast food that's not gonna be helpful whatsoever,
right?
But that's not full of nutrients. It's not about calories, it's about nutrients, but all we do is count calories. And that, even that alone, like let's forget the nutrients for a second, even that alone does not make sense whatsoever, because we are doing different things every single day and our body is used and mentally taxed and relationships are different every single day. All of that requires calories. So if you're like restricting your calories, how are you going to have energy to do any of those things? How are you going to have energy to go to work and be a good coworker or a good boss? How are you going to have energy for your family, for your friends, for your kids, to be a community member in your church? Like you can't do that without enough energy. And we treat calories like they're this evil thing. No, you need them.
Yes. Yeah.
You need them. That literally costs calories. Like you waking up in the morning costs calories. You need to pay the piper. You have to eat.
Yes. I love that. Yes.
Yeah. And so like the reason I'm saying that too is like not to say, you should go eat McDonald's. It's because calories aren't what matters. It's nutrients that matters, because everything that like I'm going through, anything that someone else is struggling with, chronic illness, is a result of a nutrient deficiency, for sure. There's something that is lacking in the diet that is not in the body, and they're not getting it through the diet. And that is why dysfunction and disease happens. It just is. Yes. Like, we're not getting enough minerals. We're not getting enough salt. We're not getting enough fat. We're not getting enough carbs. Oh my gosh, the low carb thing. The low carb thing is so infuriating. But like, all of those things are required to balance blood sugar, to manage stress, to build hormones. Like people are like, what's the best thing to do for hormones? Eat. Please eat. Like you have to eat. That's my biggest.
It's amazing how people don't want to hear that. They're willing to do something harder in the sense of like, really, really tough diet or a really awful medication or supplement that makes them feel horrible or some expensive.
Oh my gosh.
People, but I've seen it where people are struggling and struggling and they refuse to even consider the fact that they're not eating enough. And you're like, no, I'm telling you, you're not eating enough. And here's how it affects your body. And it's just like, la, 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 I can't hear you, because it's such a fearful thing for women in our culture.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because we're all scared to gain weight because it's seen as a bad thing. And say someone, okay, like someone with hormone issues or PCOS or something like that, they're probably already struggling with weight because their body is already stressed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And like fats used to store toxins. Like that's the safety mechanism. Our body isn't made to have heavy metals and parasites and things just like roaming around doing whatever they want. So we literally pull it out of the bloodstream and pull it out of tissues and store it in fat. That's how the safety mechanism works. So if you're storing it in fat, why would you not do, it makes more sense. And now that I know this, to address the root cause so that the body doesn't need to keep storing tissue and storing toxins and making more fat.
Yep. To store it in there. Cause that's something too. I was talking to someone earlier about, we're talking about like cows, like meat and stuff. And they were saying, I was telling them about organ meats, of course, you know, which are super cool. I was like trying to explain them and they were like, oh, but aren't toxins like stored in the liver? And I was like, no, the toxins in a farm animal that is healthy or not, they will store it in their fatty tissue. They don't store it in the actual liver itself. And of course, if it's a sick animal, you know, nothing's out of the picture because that could happen. But if it's a healthy animal, they're not going to store it in their organ. They're going to store it in the fat. It's just interesting because people tend to think of, and you know, I realize that the reason why people think that toxins are stored in the liver is because that's what all the skinny detox tea girls say on Instagram is, oh my goodness, oh my gotta get the toxins out of your liver, girl. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. That's not how it works.
Actually, your liver is like so much smarter than this tea at detoxing toxins.
Yes.
This tea is not helping. Yes. I'm laughing because I've totally bought that tea before. Every single diet you can possibly imagine. I've done it for sure. Yes, like, and like the really crazy ones that you would be like, oh my gosh, why would you think that was okay?
Same. I've done that. It's crazy. I've done the weird ones as well. Just wacky. Like why, looking back, knowing what I know, I'm like, girl, you were really, really messing yourself up. Like, oh my goodness. Yeah. It's just looking back. I'm always like, oh dear.
I guess my question, I didn't have any written down, but just kind of in the flow of this, what we're talking about, how have you dealt with retraining your brain with the old ways of thinking about food, about your body, about, because I know that for me, it took a lot of conscious effort to stop being afraid of certain foods. And we have episodes on all of these different topics, but I'm just really curious to hear your experience, Tori.
Yeah. So I'm actually doing something right now with this because, you know, it's been pretty recent that I've accepted that I struggle with chronic illness. And so there's still a lot of work that God's doing on my heart right now with that.
Yeah.
And I did this a long time ago, but it was before I was saved. And so it wasn't really like, it was effective for me then, but it makes no sense now. I am doing like every day for 30 days, writing on a post-it, something true about myself that's not related to my body and putting it on my mirror.
That's awesome.
And so by the end of the month, I literally just started yesterday, but by the end of the month, there's going to be 30 things that are true about myself that God says about me that I can retrain what I'm saying to myself when I look in the mirror. Because I mean, you're never going to not look in the mirror, go a whole day without looking. I guess you could, but I mean, I need to brush my teeth and fix my hair and that involves a mirror.
Yeah.
So, but I can absolutely retrain the way that my thoughts control how I feel about myself. Right. And like, even with like energetic testing and what I'm doing now, I'm like, our thoughts and emotions control so much about what happens, right? Like our body is intricately connected to our thoughts and emotions. And so if our thoughts and emotions are toxic and they're garbage, we're going to feel toxic and garbage. And then that's just going to make us want to hold on to toxins and garbage, because that's what, like, toxins attract to each other. So if our energy is toxic, we're going to attract more toxins. We're going to hold on to those toxins. We're not going to detox them. So I'm literally 2 days into it, doing it now. When I did it before, it was like stupid stuff. Like, you always remember to fill the ice cube tray, and your kneecaps are cute, which also I never remembered to fill the ice cube tray. So I don't know why I used that. It was like, you know, cute compliments on Pinterest or something. Right. I looked those up. But now it's like, okay, I can actually apply scripture and like what God says about me. And like, that's going to be so much more powerful than a cute little compliment from Pinterest, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
So that's great. I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I'm excited for that. Awesome. I literally haven't even like talked about it on Instagram yet, because I'm like, okay, I kind of want to see how this goes for the first few days before.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. I'm really liking it.
I worked a lot on my thoughts about food over the past couple of years, to where I've really made peace with like eating more and not being afraid of eating and not being afraid of fat or carbs or whatever, or sugar. And so that I had a ton of success with that, but I still kind of allowed this level of negative body image just to constantly be in the back of my mind. And so I've too have been, I don't even know how many weeks I'm into it, like 3 or 4 weeks of just being ruthless with those thoughts of like not letting them dwell, be like, absolutely not, this is wrong. And it's really making a difference. Like, I'm so amazed that it's possible to retrain your brain with truth.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm a huge proponent of like counseling and therapy. That was something I started, 5 years ago when I had my really first big bout of depression. My parents are like, you have to go to counseling. We have to, we need help. If you're dropping out of classes, this is serious. We need help. Right. And I love my counselor so much. She is so fantastic. And she is constantly helping me with, how do we get out of this like emotion mind where we believe all these lies, right? Like, we're fat and food is bad for us and we can't eat carbs, we can't gain weight, and all this is, that's like emotional mind, which is there because we, you know, instinctively don't want to be rejected. We want to be accepted.
Right.
And what does logic mind say? And so like, your feelings are valid. Like, you can feel fat and you can feel like this food is bad, but feelings are real and not reliable. What does truth say? Mm-hmm. Truth is logic mind. And so you're constantly having to kind of do this. If you can think of like a Venn diagram, like there's two circles and there's this overlap. And so like, you have to acknowledge the feeling because you have to know what's going on, but you have to replace it with truth. And like, that's exactly what scripture tells us to do.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's cool because, I mean, my counselor loves Jesus. And so we talk about Jesus a lot, but that's something that's like a psychology thing that's totally reflected in scripture, which is that's just awesome. Really cool to do. So.
See, I love that. I wanted to ask you, what do you think is the biggest thing that women struggle with? This kind of goes along with the whole having a chronic illness, making diet changes and stuff like that. The biggest thing that women struggle with when it comes to making changes with their diet, maybe to support their chronic illness, but not dieting. So how do you separate that out in your mind? Because that's a big question.
Yeah. So that kind of goes back to how I was talking about how fat is a security measure for our body, right? Like, our toxins are stored in fat. So they're not just roaming the bloodstream and roaming other tissues, just creating trouble. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest thing is shifting that mindset between what the scale says and like what is actually happening in your body. Because so like, we're trained in this and we've done research to understand like, yeah, things are a lot different than just what the scale says and what the number says. Mm-hmm. But most people that we work with aren't trained in that. That's why they're coming to see us. And so it's kind of like, I have to backstep to where I was and remember that, hey, I've been in this spot. How did I get to the point of understanding that the weight didn't matter? And that's not what was important. And that wasn't ever going to be resolved. I don't think wanting to lose weight, and I tell this to my clients, that's not an inherently bad thing, right? Like, our bodies weren't meant to carry a lot of excess weight. And so that's a whole nother thing that can cause more health issues as a repercussion of current health issues, but that's not the primary goal. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of this balance right now, especially with a few of my clients, I'm thinking of that, okay, what are we doing every day that is like reinforcing this weight theology, yeah, for lack of a better term?
Yeah.
And oftentimes they're weighing themselves really frequently. And by really frequently, mm-hmm, I mean 1 to 2 times a month. And I even had one client, like a newer client, she was like, I asked her, I was like, how much do you weigh yourself? And she goes, like twice a month, you know, every 2 weeks. yeah. And I was like, so like when, cause she was like, I've gained like 8 pounds. And I was like, so like, when was your cycle? Like, where are you at in your cycle? You know, what's going on there? She goes, well, my cycle just ended, but that has no influence on my weight. And I was like, hold up, sis, like, drink it in. I said, like, your cycle is not just the 7 days that you are bleeding, right? There's a complete cycle throughout the month. 28 to 32 days is usually where people sit in with a healthy cycle. Yeah. And your weight is absolutely going to fluctuate that entire month. So even, and like, I even say this too, like weighing once a month is honestly too much. It's too much because it messes with your mind too much. I don't know anyone that has a real healthy relationship with their body and their health that is weighing themselves that frequently.
Yes.
Because it just does become an idol when there's way more important metrics to track. So I think the biggest thing that people struggle with is switching their mindset to what metrics actually matter, which, mm-hmm, is symptom management, toxin levels. Do we have chronic infections? Like, where's our blood panel at? Like, those things are what matter, yeah, not the number on the scale.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's people just get so hung up on that. But like you said, there's so much more important metrics to track than just that. Like, it's not, you know, just from a whole body perspective, you know, there can, yes, just be numerous reasons. And absolutely.
Yeah.
And my question kind of ties into that. The part of the reason why I got off of Instagram and Facebook, like, I don't have any social media anymore because it just was too, it's all appearances based, not necessarily, mm-hmm, people's bodies, but like with their home or with their work or with their reading life, or like, I'm a knitter and it's like their knitting was like laid out perfectly with fall candles and like and you know, and it's all this, it's this idea of like everyone out there is perfect and I'm not. And so I just quit media cold turkey 2 years ago, and I've so been thankful for that decision. But for somebody like you or Margaret who has a business that requires social media for promotion and all that, and like Instagram, like I've seen your Instagram account, which I loved, but like, how do you deal with being on a platform that judges you visually? Like, yeah, you just avoid, sure, pictures of yourself. Like, I know that some Instagram people are just like, nope, you don't get to see me. Like, you don't get to judge me. Or, mm-hmm, some people take pictures of like, here's my squishy belly after baby, and this, right, is, people can use it all kinds of ways. I'm just curious how you deal with social media, because it tends to be very appearances focused.
That's a good, yes, question.
Okay, so I feel like I first of all, yeah, love that question, because that's definitely something I've also struggled with, and that was also part of why I even started like caring about health in college. Like, do y'all remember Tumblr and like how, oh, yes, cool having a Tumblr was? And I like found some like fitness influencer before being an influencer was a thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm influenced by her and I want to be like her. She's so great. And that was like immediate comparison, right? Because I was saying I wasn't good enough the way I was. So I'm going to be like her and I want to be healthy and I want to lose weight. Mm-hmm. So that's for sure part of my story. And I totally understand that. I think now there was a lot of time too, and this is something that's changed this year for me. I think there was just kind of a switch where my relationship with God made this a lot easier. But before, I really was like stressed about putting myself on my Instagram because I had that voice, Satan's voice in the back of my head saying, okay, well, you're not skinny, so why would anyone believe anything you say?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And why would anyone care about anything when you're fat? And just like evil things. Like Satan really just does a number on us about that. Mm-hmm. And I, this year, and I had two separate accounts. I had a personal account and a business account. And kind of when COVID hit, things kind of just like fell off the wagon, right? Because I was barely hanging on just for myself and mentally.
Yeah.
And when I started kind of coming out of that and was like, okay, I really, really need to make something of this business, right? Because I have to employ myself. I have to make money. And thankfully my parents are like real on board with entrepreneurship and like are supporting me getting off the ground, because my dad's owns his own business. So he's like, I'm in, let's do it, which is nice. A huge blessing. And when I started doing that, I was like, okay, I literally never posted consistently or was on Instagram consistently or even helping anyone consistently, because I'm so self-conscious about keeping both of these things separate, right? And creating content that like my friends want to see, like my guy friends from church want to see, and then like things that strangers on the internet that are struggling with weight and struggling with health and all these things want to see.
Yes.
And I was like, that's not going to work. Like it's not working now, and it's not going to keep working. So I combined my profiles and just switched to only like business and personal all in one.
Nice.
And that has helped me manage my time so much better. It's been so much less overwhelming because I'm not like recreating the same content for two different things. And like, that literally was double the work. Why did I do that? And so like combining those, yes, but also those are my friends and my family that follow my personal account. Right. They're going to want to see my face. Like yeah. they're going to care about, you know, me and my roommate doing something for my birthday, and they're going to care about how my dog is and like seeing cute pictures of my dog. And it's made things, I think, take off a lot better for me, because yeah. I am willing to say I am a real person on the other side of the screen that struggles with these things.
Right.
And you're opening yourself up to a lot of vulnerability and mean people on the internet and all of this yeah. stuff, but it's also so much more rewarding and authentic for the people you do connect with. And I've made so many more friends and so many, like I met y'all and like talked to y'all right. through Instagram, right? I didn't, I couldn't do that before. I was really trying to make an impactful way to connect with people. And yes. I'm also kind of, you know, like I do have to kind of keep track, because it is kind of my, I guess, auto decision to post something else that's not myself, because mm-hmm. I still do have that like deep inner root of like idolizing body image. And so I have to be like, okay, it's been three pictures since someone has seen my face.
Yeah.
I'm going to post something, whether it's cute or not. Like it has to go up. Because yeah, my business is me. Like yes. it is me. They're both things. I care about both of these things, my life, my personal life and my business. And they're so connected. And like my business is not just a 9-to-5. Like it is who I am and it is what right. I care about. And it is what God has put on my heart as my ministry, and they have to go together. Yeah. Now to the other side, I also don't frequently post pictures of myself where my body is revealed in certain ways, i.e. like I'm not posting pictures of my stomach or cleavage or anything like that, because yeah. I do have guy friends from church that follow me, and I'm not going to post something that I think is
yeah,
like tempting or anything in any way, whether they think I'm attractive or not, you know, like that's not what matters. But
yeah, yeah.
I also have a responsibility of respecting the body that God gave me. And sometimes that can cross boundaries, even if my intention is to say, look at my stretch marks, look at this.
Right.
I don't want to draw attention to those things. And I want to be conscious of how I'm affecting other people around me. So
yes, I love that.
I don't do that. So I kind of ride the middle, I think, yeah. and I'm trying to navigate that.
I love that, because there it's easy. And I've noticed too, on some of the accounts that are more of the anti-diet type of accounts, like they don't even show themselves very much at all. Some mm-hmm. accounts. And it's kind of, I'm like, I want to know you and connect with you. And I need, like, you know, because it's,
yes.
it's a digital world. You kind of have to do that. And I have caught myself as well on my feed, because I do videos too. But I honestly don't have a lot of pictures of just me, because, you know, I'm here with two little kids and my yeah. husband's not here to take pictures of me and he doesn't think of that. So, usually for me, it's like, okay, time to set up the self timer and do a picture. And it's awkward, but I'm like, I want to be authentic and be like, yep, this is me. And, you know, exactly. So, but I have noticed that, because it's easy to fall off of either side of the horse. It's either to be like, I'm going to post only like thirst trap photos of myself. And then it's like, you have the other side of the spectrum, which is just literally no body shots at all. Like, you know, no pictures of you, you know, because that's people connect to that.
Yes. And so. I think too, like, it was hard for me to navigating a few years ago when I was still like baby believer, which I still think I'm a baby believer in some ways for sure. But when I really like just started my relationship and following the Lord, I did fall into the body positivity trap where there's all these women half naked on the internet because they're curvy and beautiful. You're beautiful the way you are because God made you, not because of how you look in your underwear. And that's totally different. Yes. And so like there was, I did a whole like mass exodus unfollowing this year because 2020 is just crazy. And I was like, I don't even see half of these people on the internet because of the algorithm. So why am I following them? But when I was really, you know, like a year and a half, 2 years ago, really starting to make this idolization of body image a thing, like, and a thing that I was going to address and a thing that I was going to give to God and surrender. I was going through a 12-step program at my church called Regeneration. And it's like a 12-step program for any type of sin pattern. Mm. And it's fantastic. If anyone listening to this is in Fort Worth, they for sure need to do it. You don't need to be a member of my church to go do it. It's the best thing ever. Part of that is like repentance plans and like what we're consuming and how our habits contribute to these sin patterns. Right. Mm. And I was realizing, okay, well, I care about what I look like because I'm seeing other people that I'm comparing myself to every single day. Yeah. So like during that time, there was like this mass exodus for me of these body positivity accounts that I had previously looked up to because I thought it was good, but it was really Satan in sheep's clothing for sure.
Yeah. Cause it, it's easy to just take that and be like, let's idolize. Like there's the appreciation for your body and then there's turning it into idolatry, which,
I've seen that for sure of like, some ladies do it really thoughtfully and tastefully and it's very helpful to me. And then some accounts, I'm like, oh, I've heard of this person. I look them up. I'm like, oh, wow, they're all nudes. Like,
right?
I don't need to see that. Like, it's almost,
It's like soft porn, kind of. And you're like, wait, hold on. Something is not right here.
Right.
Like, it's very alarming.
Yeah. And I, because it's funny, because there's some accounts like mom, you know, postpartum accounts that they'll have pictures of them and they're like, this is what the belly looks like. You know, a few days after having a baby, and that can be helpful for some people. But I feel like that if it turns into also a comparison trap, well, she doesn't have stretch marks, but she does.
Yeah.
Or I do.
Yeah.
I have stretch marks on my thigh, but she doesn't. It honestly can turn into a comparison too, because that's just how we are. Like, I feel like humans just compare. Like, it's almost just ingrained that we compare because maybe it's something inherently in us that we're always like, contrast. And I've heard that said that the brain likes contrast, like, you know, it attracts to that. So you're like, oh, it's just your brain categorizing things too.
Well, and I think too, it's like our flesh is sinful, right? And our flesh is constantly searching for something to fill the giant gaping hole that only Jesus can fill. But because we're in a world that's consumed by social media, that's easily one that we use to try to fill the hole. Mm-hmm. And not even intentionally. It just sort of happens. We have our phones in our pocket and it just comes out and you start scrolling Instagram and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, I want those clothes. I want that house. I want this body. Yes. I want this. I want this.
Why is her house so clean and mine's messy? You know? Yeah. Yeah. Same thing.
Exactly.
That definitely, I find that too. Or you just get lost in the black hole of scrolling. And that's something that I've had to do is just put boundaries for myself. Like, okay. Cause it's just easy to just let it consume you.
Yes.
So, or more information, like just too much information. And then you're like, I don't even know if I know anything anymore. Cause there's just so much information, you know, that too.
And I think too, what's helped me is that I am more busy than I was 4 months ago with the COVID lockdown. I'm more busy now because I'm working, I'm in my office, I'm doing things. And most of the time now when I am on Instagram, I'm actually creating something to serve someone else.
Yeah.
And it's not actually about me at all.
Yes.
And even though my face is on it, even though my picture is there or whatever, most of my time now is actually just giving stuff or DMing random supplements to people so that I can help them because they're struggling with this. Not random, I guess. I do my research, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Just they're like, hey, do you know anything about this? I'm like, you can look into this. And I point them to these websites. And I spend more time in DMs trying to help people now than I've ever spent on Instagram comparing people to myself.
There's a difference. In being a creator versus a consumer of social media.
For sure.
Yes, totally.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Would definitely be helpful. And that's part that kind of segues into the last question that I had was, what resources have been helpful in this journey for you? Like whether it's social media accounts or YouTube channels or blogs, podcasts, books.
Gosh, that's a really good question. The biggest thing I'm going to say is for sure the Bible and like having a relationship with the Lord and a relationship with other believers that can speak truth into your life, because those lies just really sneak in real fast and take root. That is for sure the biggest resource that I've had that has completely changed everything for me.
Yeah.
But as far as just doing research, I think NTPs in general, even if I don't agree with everything an NTP does, or I'm like, oh, I don't really like this thing that you're doing, I would do it differently.
Yeah.
Every NTP has a story. And I love that. And most of us, and this is kind of going back to like, hey, I had this imposter syndrome about how can I help people even though I'm sick. Most of us are in it because we've been sick.
Right.
Yeah. Because we want to help other people, because we have seen healing through nutritional therapy and we want to help other people find that as well.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah, I think just because we're in the business, I know this, that NTP spends so much time making free content to serve people. And yeah, the end goal is to get clients so they can help them, but you don't have to work with every single NTP. You can follow like 5 or 6 NTPs that all have different perspectives, and that can also help you and make connections and just a lot of different things, right? Because I talk a lot about chronic illness and digestion, but my friend also talks about mold toxicity, and I don't have mold toxicity. I don't have experience with that. So that's totally different, right? And then I'm talking about amalgam fillings, and other NTPs are talking about hormones, and it's just, there's a wealth of knowledge to serve you. It's just kind of tuning out the noise of like diet culture and seeing like what is actually going to get at the root cause.
Right. Yes.
Because there's a lot of health and wellness BS out on the internet. But pretty much every NTP is doing good that I've seen. And I appreciate that. So I just like love our little profession so much.
NTPs, it really is. It's kind of like a, I don't know. I don't like the word sisterhood because I think of like some yuppie, like youth group or something, but it is kind of like that because, you know, when someone else has kind of studied the same hierarchy, how the body works and all that, you just immediately are like, oh yeah, that I can, you know, relate to that just because of the way it works through the body, because it just makes sense. That's just one thing I like about that.
That's my biggest resource. And most NTPs will point you to books and podcasts and other NTPs. And I think like as soon as you follow one, you kind of start going down the rabbit hole, and then everything is like, you're in literally a whole new world, and you're like, why didn't I ever know this about my menstrual cycle before? Like, crazy that we don't learn in health class in 7th grade. They teach us nothing about menstrual cycle.
Yes. Yeah, it is true. Because if you're, you know, following them online, usually, you know, one follows the other and then they kind of collaborate and whatnot. And it's just fun. Yeah, it's really fun to follow people like that, because you know that they're dishing out the functional nutrition stuff, not the skinny detox tea that is often peddled on places like Instagram.
Yeah. For sure.
Oh yeah.
Those are my two, I think, things. And like also just knowing that you're never going to know all the information, and mm-hmm. that's okay. Like, you can still make slow, implementable change without knowing every single detail about everything, right? Like, because you're starting.
Yeah.
And making a change, and then that leads to another change, and then that's positively reinforced, and you make another change, and it goes on. But if you're just worried about getting all the information and worried about what you're going to do with it, you're not actually making any changes yet, and you're still feeling worse and worse and worse and getting more sick. And
yeah,
and it's a deeper hole to get yourself out of.
Yeah, because people tend to think they have to have. I'm number one guilty person of this. I'm like, give me all of the information. Like, you know, if I have something like candida, which I also had candida back at the beginning before I was in a TP. It's tempting to be like, okay, now tell me everything there is to know about candida, and how do you create good bacteria, and do you restrict sugars or not? And, you know, I'm like, I want to know all of the things up front, but sometimes just a helpful suggestion, like, you know, for candida, you know, working in some stuff that is going to kill off the candida and replenishing good bacteria, like two steps instead of, you know, the 15 or 20 or whatever steps that, you know, if you Google it, will come up. Because then you're just chasing this rabbit trail, and you're not actually doing something to have changes happen. You know, it's the first step of doing something is sometimes hard, in my experience, too.
For sure. I think that's too, like, I'm a big proponent of practitioners should have their own practitioners, because as we do this all day, we get roped into the rabbit hole real easily about knowing all the information, because we're not only thinking of ourselves, we're thinking about our clients that are experiencing these symptoms or have these things. And we're like, well, I have to do this and figure this out for them too.
Yes.
And that has been like the best thing I've ever done for myself, is get my own practitioner, because all I have to do is execute what she tells me to do. And then I know that I'm being obedient to how God is telling me to serve my body. I'm listening, and I'm doing the things, and I'm checking the box, and I'm doing it with intention, like not just checking the box and not caring, but doing it with intention and making sure I'm following up with my practitioner and asking questions. And yeah, I'm learning things along the way, but it's not all on me.
Right. See, yes, practitioners having their own practitioners, I'm such a fan of that, because it's really hard to be objective with myself. And I've talked to other practitioners that are the same. And, I was the one who my last pregnancy, I was starting to have heartburn and not absorbing stuff. And I'm like, what on earth could be going on? And then I went to my chiropractor, who also does applied kinesiology, and he was like, well, your stomach acid is kind of shot. And I was like, oh, yeah. Well, throwing up for 3 months would do that when you're pregnant. You know, it's just funny. And I was sitting there like, well, duh, of course. Why didn't I even think of that? Because it's myself. If you'd sent me a client that had that, immediately I'd be like, how's your HCL levels? You know, are you taking anything to modulate that? How's your stress and your zinc and whatnot? It's just funny.
Yeah. HCL is like the first thing people need all the time.
Yes, because everybody's so deficient. That's one of the ones that I'm always like, how's your HCL? How's your stomach acid? And then people get tired of hearing it, but it's true. It's really true. In fact, Victoria, didn't you? Okay, so way, way back in the day when I first, I guess that was 2014, when I first started doing NTP stuff, Victoria was one of my like guinea pig people that I did the functional evaluation on.
Yeah. Take them over the team.
Yes. And she did, you did, and you had done HCL at the time, I think. And that's one of the things that made a difference, if I remember
that
correctly.
That is what I needed, because that was, it's interesting that stress, I think, is what kind of propelled me down the getting more and more sick and nauseous and stuff route. And then I got into doing gluten-free and all this stuff. And then it was kind of a going, like, quote unquote, getting healthy with going gluten-free and going paleo and all that kind of dug me deeper into the fear of foods and control over my body. And then I kind of came slowly back up out of that, but I still feel good when I don't do very many grains and stuff. So it's, I've learned how to deal with that. But it's funny that, Margaret, whenever you did that testing on me, I had just found out that Galen, who's now my husband, who is Margaret's brother.
My brother.
Margaret and I are sisters. And so I had just found out that he liked me because an older lady in our church told me, but she wasn't supposed to tell me. So I was extremely stressed and like excited. And like my stomach was in butterflies all the time, because I kept waiting for him to ask me out, but he took like 4 months.
Yeah.
5 months. to ask me out. And so for that whole like 4 or 5 months, I was like in this constant state of anxiety and nervousness. Like, and so that's why my stomach acid was so bad.
Yeah. Stress and like even sometimes honestly good stress like that. You can be like, oh, he's gonna ask me out. Yeah. That worked out well. I'm still very glad he married you because I was really good friends with Victoria before they even got married. So that worked out well.
It was perfect. But I totally remember, Margaret, you doing like the testing and being like, man, you're really low in stomach acid. You must be stressed about something. I was like,
you're like, yeah, I think I am.
Your brother, he's really stressing me out.
Yes. So funny. But yeah, it's really fun. And I find that the, you know, even with my own health stuff over the years, it's been helpful because I, you know, like you were saying, Tori, where it's like you know what it feels like to be sick and you know what it feels like to be working through things. So it's great because you had that empathy because, you know, who would want to go? I mean, I'm sure that there are practitioners who've never, ever, ever had any health issues, but most of them do. Most of them are like, yeah, I got diagnosed with, you know, Hashimoto's and I was like 15 or, you know. So a lot of them do. And it's just, I think it's, you know, I think it's relatable. I feel like so.
For sure. And even if they think that usually when people start the NTA, they're like, oh yeah, I'm so healthy. Let me do this.
And then you're like,
the first workshop and they palpate you and you're like, everything is a 10. Everything. Which is crazy. So yeah, I think like a lot of people in my group specifically were like, wait, I need like 15 supplements right now.
Yeah.
Things are not working as well as I thought they did.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is it's easy to get discouraged because you're like, oh, I didn't know about that. Like recently I've been really nerding out, if people have been following me, on like cellular nutrition and like mitochondria. And I've been talking to Victoria about this. She's had to listen to me talk about it on Marco Polo for like the last 2 weeks. But anyway, like I've been looking into that and I'm like, oh snap. Like that's actually, I remember vaguely they touched on that in school, but I need to go back and look at, you know, but it's easy to look at that and then go, oh no, I'm going to put myself back at square one if I'm starting working on this thing. But it's, I don't know, it's fun. I feel like it's fun, you know, learning new stuff.
Well, and it's like too, we're never going to be perfectly healthy. That's part of living in a broken world, right? But there's always going to be something else. Really today's Wednesday, right? Yesterday I was in counseling and she was like, you're always doing the best you can and you can always do better. And like, that's what I'm really working on because I mean, last week, if you follow me on Instagram, you know, I have a giant supplement box I carry in my purse with me because I have to take supplements throughout the day.
Yep.
And I don't want to take 20 bottles in my purse, right? Because then I'll look like a drug addict. So I carry this little plastic box off of Amazon. It's not even little. That has dividers and everything. And I was telling her about how last week I came to the office and I forgot my supplement box. And I kind of panicked a little at first because I felt like I was like forgetting my underwear or my arm or something because it's been attached at my hip for 2.5 months now. And and she was like, I literally that night was telling a client that you're not going to take your supplements perfectly. And that's okay. Like one or two misses during the week isn't going to drastically affect your success.
Right.
If you're missing every single day, then we're going to talk about that. But like me missing, you know, a lunch supplement and the afternoon supplement isn't going to change anything, but I still kind of panicked. And she was like, you're doing the best you can and you can always do better, right? Like you could have done it perfectly, but you're not ever going to be perfect. So keep doing the best you can and you'll keep getting better at it.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of with our health journey too. Like there's going to be a day, I'm fully convinced, there's going to be a day where I don't have parasites and I don't have candida and I don't have mercury and titanium running rampant through my body, but there's still going to be probably something to work on, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be exposed to toxins in my life. I'm still going to be stressed for some reason. Like there's constantly going to be things to work on. And I think that can be overwhelming, but if you're like willing to accept it, it actually helps you move forward.
Yes. Yes. Instead of having this perfectionist attitude about, because that's what I struggle with, because I am, if we're talking about Enneagram, I'm 3. So I'm like all like achievement based, like let's get the, like the, you know, check the checklist. And I mean, I'm not as bad as like the, whatever the Enneagram one's about the checklist, but I still like my checklist, you know? So I have that perfectionist attitude where I'm like, I can't be like happy about things unless I've, you know, made myself feel good by achieving the things that I need to achieve. And then that's where the Lord's had to really work with me and be like, Margaret, you're not the sum of your achievements. Like, that's not, that doesn't prove your worth to him. And it doesn't really matter. Like it freeing when I allow myself to not be a perfectionist and just be like, I'm doing what I can, then that I'm able to have a much better and less stressful existence than being such a perfectionist about things.
So, yeah. And you feel better because you're not stressing yourself out on top of all the other things.
Exactly. Yes. So. Because stress is not good. Yeah. So, well, do you have anything else? Do you have any closing thoughts or things you want to leave our listeners with?
Oh man, no pressure.
Yeah. No pressure. Like, big statement. No, just kidding.
I guess, like, I think my biggest takeaway is the reason I've been able to find an NTP Tara that does this type of testing. The reason I went to a functional medicine doctor after my terrible gynecologist experience, you know, all of that was because I was willing to step out of my comfort zone and surrender what was going on to God and like release control. Because when I was making that, you know, that first gynecologist appointment, and I was like, this is how I'm going to control this hypothyroid issue, which, you know, now that I know it, the hypothyroid stuff is completely secondary to what's going on, which, by the way, I'm not on medication anymore. I feel like that's a huge win.
Oh my goodness. That is a big win. That's a big deal.
I started weaning off in November August of last year and got totally off in November. So I still take like support thyroid.
Awesome. No, that's a big deal. That's one to celebrate for sure. Because that's a big
totally
deal.
Totally possible to not be on thyroid medication, which, cause I was super upset about that. I hated it.
Yeah.
But because I was willing to say, okay, this is not in my control anymore. And it never was, but being able to release control and say, okay, God, I'm going where, what's next? Like, tell me what's next. And it happened to be my chiropractor told me about this functional medicine doctor, found a functional medicine doctor. This functional medicine doctor randomly started talking about nutritional therapy because I studied nutrition in college. And I was like, what is that? Randomly went to PaleoFX, met people from the NTA at PaleoFX one year.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's so cool. I've always wanted to go to PaleoFX just because all the cool people are there. Yeah.
That's so really awesome. I'm such a nerd. I love it. It's so much fun. I could listen to like scientific talks all day long. They're so
intense. Oh yeah.
But that, like, all of that was because I was willing to say, okay, I'm not going to take this one lady's word for everything, and I'm going to see where God just takes me.
Yeah.
Another conventional doctor, turns out it wasn't. And that's not to say every conventional doctor out there sucks and they don't care about people. I just had really bad experiences. And so that's my life. But
yeah.
The fact is, like, if I didn't release control, if I didn't let go and I didn't surrender that idol of it's in my control to God, I would have never gotten here. Right. If I didn't control about getting let go from my job, I wouldn't be running my own business right now. I wouldn't have the time and space to heal my body. I wouldn't have found Tara. I would have never done the NTA certification.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even be here talking on this podcast. So it was all because I released control and just trusted where God was taking me, which is so hard to do. But
yeah,
when you're like kind of in the situation I was, there was no other option. Like, I was kind of just at the point where I was like, I have no other option but to trust what God is telling me to do right now and just continue to listen to that.
Yeah. See, I love that. That's perfect to leave our listeners with, because a lot of them are probably, you know, in a situation with their health where they're weighing their opinions of different doctors and whatnot. And I think that would be so helpful for them to know, like, that, you know, you can step out in faith and don't take no, or, you know, whatever they're saying for an answer. You can be your own advocate. And I think that was inspiring what you were sharing about being your own advocate, asking the questions, and not taking what someone said, one gynecologist said to you, as the law or the truth.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think that's great. So, yeah. Well, Victoria, do you have anything else or?
No, but just thank you for coming on, Tori. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you for having me. Oh my gosh. I could talk forever. I have so many things to say all the time, but
yeah. I love that. That's why I wanted to have you on. Cause I was like, we will be able to have a really good conversation because there's just very similar. There's a lot of similar things. So yeah, I'm just so glad that you're able to come on. So thanks so much.
Yeah. It was so much fun. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. Well, we will see you guys again next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.